thank you so much for joining us. Today is the day after Shavuot, Tafshin Pei Beis. It's June 7th, and we just came through Shavuot, and hopefully the Shavuot came through us also, the Yom Tov, the Kabbalah Torah. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu says to the second door that Kabbalah Torah happened, he recounts to them how they heard Hashem speak, and then they said, this is too much for us, because we died and were resurrected twice, and we don't want to do that again.
When did we die?
And when Hashem spoke the first Dibra and the second Dibra. So today, based on all this that happened, we're going to talk about a shortcut to Bitachon. Are there any shortcuts at all in life? So let's find out. So what happened is that when Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael that from now on, Hashem said he won't speak to them directly anymore. And Hashem was not disappointed that Bnei Yisrael asked for this. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu was disappointed. He said, wouldn't you rather hear it directly from Hashem? And I don't really want to be the go-between. It's better to hear from Hashem. But Hashem said, don't be disappointed. It's good that they're afraid, and they'll listen to the Nevi'im, they'll listen to you from now on. And not only that, if only from now on, they'll always be so afraid of Hashem. They'll always be so afraid of me. Hashem said, I'm not disappointed. And I'm happy that they're so afraid. Me, hey, they would have this sentiment of fear from now on. Now, when he said me, ten means if only. So, the Aruch Chaim brings, Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that it says, Shagag Moshe. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It seems Moshe made a mistake. Shalo Amar Lo Tein Atah. That he did not say, you, Hashem, should give it that we'll have Yiras Shemayim. Meaning there was an opening for Moshe to say, Tein Atah. Moshe could have asked to be spoon-fed. Hashem, you should give us Yiras Shemayim. If he would have asked for it, then they would not have second-guessed Moshe, not with the sending of Meraglim and not with the Machlokos of Korach. That means there's an ability for us to say to Hashem, Tein Atah. Hashem, it's too hard for me. You give me Yiras Shemayim. You give me Bitachon. You help me with my Midot, because it's so hard for me to do it. We're supposed to take that cue and say, Tein Atah, it's too hard for me. We can dive into Hashem to give us Bitachon and to give us Yiras Shemayim. It seems like too good to be true.
Mm-hmm. Is that why sometimes things seem too hard for us?
Right. In other words, Yiras Shemayim, the Gemara in Sukkah says that every day the Eitz Hara wants to take over us, and Hashem helps us. And it says, the Yitzhar wants to kill us every day, and if Hashem doesn't help us, we're not able to overcome the Yitzhar. So that means we need Hashem's help. But from here we see that it says, Shagag Moshe, the Aruch Chaim says, and in Parshas Veschan, he made an error. Now, he could have taken that hint and said, you should give it to us, and it would have changed all of history. There wouldn't be the Machlokas of Korach, the sending of the Meraglim. The only thing is, if you look in that Gemara, it doesn't sound like Moshe made the mistake. It sounds like Moshe told Bnei Yisrael that they made the mistake. So I just want to clarify this. Because Moshe said to them, you people are kfuye tova. You are people who invert good, meaning you're ungrateful. What you did is when Hashem said, tein atah, when Hashem said, if only they would always have Yiras Shemayim, then what happens is that you should have said, tein atah. You should have said, so why is the Aruch Chaim saying that Moshe made a mistake if Moshe was telling Bnei Yisrael that you guys made a mistake? That's the problem that I have with this Aruch Chaim. The Aruch Chaim doesn't seem to be quoted in the Gemara the way that it says it. You'll see where we're headed here. So there are various explanations. I want to thank Rabbi Spetner because I didn't have any Pirushim on the Aruch Chaim, but I asked him. He sent me a couple of screenshots of Pirushim on the Aruch Chaim. One of them says that no, Moshe Rabbeinu also made a mistake because Moshe also heard this, and he didn't tell this to them by Matan Torah. Now, what does this mean? That when Hashem said to Moshe, this was by Matan Torah in 2448, and Hashem said, if only they'll always have this Yiras Shemayim, me ten, who will give it that it'll be this way? So what happened was that Moshe did not tell this to them. Who atzmo yitein es levam, Hashem is going to give it to them. It says, how does the Aruch Chaim know that Moshe made a mistake? No, because it says, Moshe hochiach es Yisrael al davar zeh, rak b'sof ha'arba'im shana. He waited 40 years to tell them this. That means, why did he not tell them right away? Because who atzmo shogag b'davar zeh? He did not lo haven shekal hayalem ba'alav lanos. He did not chaf. He didn't get it that he and Bnei Yisrael should have jumped at that opportunity and said, Tein atah. If Hashem says, Mi yitein, if only you'll have your Shemaim, he's supposed to get a hint. Oh, Tein atah. Who's going to give it? You, Hashem, should give it. He and Bnei Yisrael both made the mistake. That's what this pirush on the Aruch Chaim says. That's where the Aruch Chaim says Moshe made the error. But what comes out from this? What comes out of this is that we're allowed to ask Hashem. We can say, this bitachon thing, this Yirah Shemaim, this emuna, this is too much for me. I'm not making progress. I'm not getting it. I'm allowed to say, Hashem, tein atah, please give me this opportunity. Even Moshe didn't believe or appreciate that such a thing could be. Even it was beyond Moshe Rabbeinu. We're supposed to learn in retrospect that it is within our reach, and we're actually encouraged to ask Hashem to help us. It's such a daunting task to reach a high level of bitachon. But if we say tein atah, then that is a shortcut. Hashem can actually give it to us. We're allowed to ask to be spoon-fed. That's what this Gemara is saying. It's the word of Avodah Zarah. The problem is, though, why didn't Moshe grasp that? If he's the greatest person, why didn't he understand? If Hashem says, Mi Yitain, he's supposed to say, Tein Atah. Hashem, help us with Yerushalayim. Why did he not understand that? And why did Bnei Yisrael understand that? So the Gemara says it has to do with Kfuyei Tov. What does Kfuyei Tov mean? Well, for Bnei Yisrael's part, Tosfos explains, Kfuyei Tov means, Lo hayo rotzim lahafzik lo tova b'kach. They did not want to be indebted to Hashem. Now picture this. If I say to Hashem, Hashem, this is too hard for me to have bitachon. It's so hard for me. I can't get this every day. Like my bitachon meter is like at zero. Please, Hashem, tein atah. So according to the way Tosfos understands the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, they didn't want to be indebted. They didn't want to say, oh, I was spoon-fed my Yiras Shemayim. They didn't want that. And when Moshe said to them, you're Kfuyei Tova, they're afraid of having to be grateful to Hashem for this. Does this make sense? They're afraid that they're going to be indebted to Hashem and have to show gratitude. That's why they didn't ask for it. So the lesson for us is we don't have to be afraid of that. It's okay. It's okay to be, well, I'm allowed to ask Hashem, please spoon-feed me, Nidos, please give me Yiras Shemayim. I need a lot of help. And I'm supposed to learn from this Gemara that it's okay to be indebted to Hashem, even for something like that. You gave me a free ride. Yeah, that's right. Hashem wants us to ask for it. So that's really inspiring for people who have it as a challenge. Yes?
How did that fit with, maybe you said it in the plate, but with Chol Yishmai and Chutz Meir Shemai?
That's a great question. So the answer is, so we've mentioned in the very beginning, Gemara Stuka says that so ferosh al tzadik umavaki shlami, so the pasuk says every day the Yitzhara wants to do us and wants to kill us, and it says Hashem lo yazdenu biyado, Hashem will not forsake him, and we need help to fight the Yitzhara. We can't do it on our own. So if we don't initiate it from here, if we don't initiate it from our own, then that's what it says, kol bidei shemayim chutz miyiras shemayim. We have to start, we have to initiate. That's what it means. Hashem's not going to do that for us. There were times where he had isarusa dila'el, where from above we really needed to be inspired and aroused more than other times, but we have to initiate it. That's pischul u'pesa. You have to open that opening. Then Hashem helps us, though. If we don't ask for that help, we're on our own. We can't do that. It says, tein atah. We're supposed to say, tein atah.
So this sort of shows a major flaw in human beings in that they don't want to be indebted. What is the problem?
That's right. That's correct. That's why we learn Torah. To find out what, that's why Rosh Hashiva said, why are we learning about people's mistakes in the Torah? Why is it full? Isn't all this Lashon Hara? Why is it all? No, because we're learning the mistakes were made, so we don't make them. And these were great people, these were giants, and they made a mistake. On their level, they made that mistake. They said, I'm going to feel strange, I'm going to feel awkward. Hashem gives me Yiras Shemayim, what do you mean? How can I take a present like that? Yeah, the answer is we can.
So then, if we don't want to be indebted to Hashem, how much more so we don't want to be indebted to another human being.
Right, but to Hashem, so there we say in benching, we try to avoid taking too many presents from people if we're able. But Hashem tells us, no, mi yitain, if only, you know, this will be this way, and it's supposed to be not a rhetorical question according to this Gemara, it's not a rhetorical question. Oh, if only, because that's how it's translated, Levi. It's more than that. Who would give such a thing? And that we're supposed to take the cue every day, mi yitain. It's, oh, tein atah. So I feel that I'm at zero. I'm like, I don't have any bitachon today. Okay, please, Hashem, get me started at least. I'll work. I'm asking if I really want to have it. So that's the way that the way Tosfos explained the kofei tov, there's a different explanation also that the Marshal says. What does it mean that they're kofei tov means to invert something that's good, to take something and to turn it over. Now, that it's a good thing, and when you turn it over, you're saying that it's not good. So, can I just say the Marshal? And then, so the Marshal's pshat is, what is kofei tov? His pshat is, lo choshvu lahem zeh letova, sheitin lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't think that would be a good thing. It's similar to Tosfos, it's a little different. Tosfos' pshat is they don't want to be indebted. They don't want to have to be grateful. The Marshal's pshat is they didn't even view it as something good, as something positive that Hashem would give it to them. They didn't appreciate it, they didn't think it's good, whatever the reason was. But Hashem says it is a good thing for me to help you. You need that help.
So start the day with Moda Ani. Basically saying that I'm indebted to Ribbono Shel Olam, but you once told me that the source for Moda Ani is Chadashim, Labakarim, Rabba, and Munasecha. So that maybe it can help us. Like we start up the day showing that we're indebted to Hashem.
That's what we're called Yehudim, because they're Moda. And we have to realize we are in a perpetual state of indebtedness to Hashem. And we need to maintain that. That's what Hashem wants from us by saying, me yitain. He really wants us to be indebted to Him.
But we learn that from Echa, right?
So it's actually, that's what Yirmiyah said. He said, Chadashim Abakarim Rabba Amuna Secha. Right, the pasuk in Echa. So
let's flip it over. Like, from when we're in the feeling, like we're feeling we're done, that could be the time when we're really going up.
Right. That's right. And as far as Kol Bidei Shemayim Chutzim Yirat Shemayim, as we already know, we can't do it without Hashem's help. That's what the Gemara Sukkah says. And also, I just want to mention one thing that the Ozman Matar says. If you look in the end of Parshas Bishalach, and then you look in the end of Parshas Kiseitse, what's the similarity between the two? The very end of both Parshios. What's the last pasuk in Parshas Bishalach? It says, Kimacho Emche Ezechar Amalek. I'm going to destroy the remembrance of Amalek. And what does it say at the end of Kiseitse? Timcha, it says Timcha. So in the end of Bishach, it says Emcha, I'll destroy him. And then if you say it, it says you should destroy him. So there's not an interpreter. So who's going to destroy Amalek anyway? Hashem says, I'm going to do it. Look in the end of Bishach. It says, Kimacho Emcha Ezekah Amalek Mitachas Hashemayim. And there it says, Timcha. What's going on? No, so it's the same thing. You probably understand what I'm about to say. He says, Amalek, that's the Yetzirah. That represents the Yetzirah. That's the Satan. And Hashem says, I'm going to do it. And you're going to do it. We're going to do it in a partnership. It's the same thing. It says in Parshas Vayishlach, Vayovik Ishim Imo Adalos HaShachar, that the man followed him until the morning came up, and that was the Sar Shel Esav. Again, that's the Eitz Sahara. Until the dawning of a new era when Mashiach comes, Adalos Vayovik Ishimo Adalos HaShachar, until Mashiach comes in the dawning of a new era, Alos HaShachar, when the morning comes up, there's going to be this struggle with the Eitz Sahara. We can't expect that we're going to lick it, and we're going to win without Hashem's help, and we can control it. By the way, we should never think that we're going to be mevatel totally, because we have a struggle for every day. It gets greater with us, etc. It grows every day.
So we don't have to worry that it's hard to get up in the morning. Right?
Everything that's hard is nothing to worry about, because that's how it's supposed to be. That's correct. But we have to ask Hashem. We have to enlist the assistance.
Your
yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to start. The only thing that bothers me about this is patience. Because I'm very impatient, so when I see the Gemara, I say, "Okay, Tein Atah, ready? Like, all right, I'm ready for the Bitachon now. Wait, what? So it didn't happen right away. Why is it a process? Why is it? The answer is because what's the first mita in Maseches Avos? What's the first mita? Patience. Now, why is Maseches Avos so important? Kipirkei Avos. So as we know, this says Maseches Avos. Now, why is of all the tractates of the whole Shas, it's the only one that begins with Moshe Kivu Torah Mesinai. It's the only single one like that. Now, why does this Maseches Avos begin with Moshe Kivu Torah Mesinai?
It seems less like it's not Mesorah, it's just Midos.
Exactly.
It doesn't seem like it's Mesorah.
Right. Is it hardcore Torah? Is it meat and potatoes of Torah? Is it, like you're saying, is it etiquette? Can you read it in the etiquette books? So the Baruch Tanur says, Omer Ani, I say, because this Masechta, that's exactly what you said, Enam Yustetus Alpi Mitzvah Mi Mitzvah Satorah. There's no specific mitzvah here. There's mitzvahs contained in here. But like the rest of the Maseftos, it's all musarim omidas. It's all about ethical behavior. It's all proper character traits, and it's character improvement. And he says, Chachmei Ovdil Chavim, Gamken Chibru Svarim. Kamosha Bo Demelivon. There's lots of books of etiquette out there. There's etiquette, there's ethics out there. Bedarchei Moser, how a person should conduct himself. Therefore, the Tana says, no. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. Lomar Shamidos Amusarim Shebezu Amasechta Lo Baru Osam Chachmeya Mishnah Milivam. Chachmeya Mishnah. The Chas V'Shalom to say that Tanoim made up these Midos. No. Ela Af Elo Nemer B'Sinai. All the Midos Masechus Avos are all given to Moshe at Sinai. But what's the first one? The first one is from Ashkenazic Hagadola. It says, Heva Musunim Badin. It's the first one. In the thousands of Midos that are here, the first one is you should be patient in judgment. Now, is that just talking to judges? No. It says, Heva Musunim Badin, you should be patient. Gomer, Mamtinim Kodem Shetifsiku Adin. Before you issue a verdict and you paskin, you should be patient. But the din we're talking about, Musunim Badin, you should be patient regarding how we judge things. Musunim Badin. How do I judge things? Musunim. Be patient with how I judge things. Be patient with my logic. Be patient about how I look at the world, how I look at relationships, how I look at everything. Musunim Badin. It's not just having to do with judges, obviously. Now, why did it start out with patience? Because without patience, we're not going to get anywhere. Because if I say Tainatah, or if I daven, and I don't get answered right away, and then I just lose hope because it didn't happen right away, I'm going to be stuck right there. I'm not going to get anywhere. Patience is the prerequisite for everything. Every single mitzvah, and this was given to Moshe at Sinai. Hashem said to Moshe that if you have patience, then you have the key to get into Yerushalayim. If you don't have patience, you won't get anywhere. That's the first mitzvah before every other mitzvah in the whole Maseches Avos. And that's what Hashem told Moshe at Sinai. Remarkable.
So is Mesunim, is it related to Matan?
Oh, so Mesunim is a lesson of patience, like Hamtein, like Mesinus is a lesson of patience. Okay, so and the truth is that it says in Koheles that it's called a Lev Matana. Shlomo HaMelech calls it a Lev Matana. But he says, so the Chazal say it's a Lev of Mesuna, it's a Lev of patience. It's a Jerash on that. It says that what happens is it says that when it says foolish people can get a person who has good midos, the Talmud Chacham, the Tzaddik, can get him very impatient, like it happened to Moshe. And it says, Dustin and Aviram, they cause Moshe to lose patience with Hashem. They ridicule him, they bother him, and as a result, in the end of Parsha Shemot, he got angry at Hashem. So it says that the Abed Eslev Matana. Now, the heart of Matana means a heart which is a gift from Hashem. The heart of Chachma is a gift from Hashem, Matana. But there's a drasha in Koheles, the Chazal say, the Torah Tumim explains it, is a lesson of Lev Misuna. That means when a person is, there are people who are patient by nature, but someone can provoke them. And someone can get them upset, can push their buttons. And that, even it happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the lesson of, it's a Matana and Misuna, by the way, it's related. Patience and Chachma and all that, that's a gift from Hashem. Again, back to this, Tein Atah, that's also a gift from Hashem. But the thing is that a person can lose his patience also if he's provoked. So the thing is that's the lashon of matinus, lahamtinus, to wait.
So is that could become of a deserve to get upset.
Right, then he got upset, he got angry, etc. Right. So but it wasn't that bad with Moshe Rabbeinu, but
that's right, the first one.
Oh, so what happens is, yeah, I mean, the fact, there's so much to say about patience, but the fact that it's the first mitzvah in Avos, so that leads us back to Bitachon now. Because what happens, we're going to learn that the Chofetz Chaim is going to say, okay, what if you daven Hashem doesn't answer? What if you daven today and you daven tomorrow and Hashem doesn't answer? You daven again and Hashem doesn't answer. So what happened here? Hashem's not listening to me, Chas V'Shalom. He actually talks to the prisoners of war. Now you say, prisoners of war? What are you talking about? I thought on the battlefield he had Bitachon that he's going to come home safely. What do you mean he's a prisoner of war? So the Chofetz Chaim, now we're swinging back now to how patience has to do with bitachon. It has a lot to do with bitachon. So first of all, the teiratah. So just to capitalize, the teiratah, I'm allowed to say to Hashem, I'm encouraged to say to Hashem, I have to say to Hashem, teiratah. It's too hard for me to get all these midos, so I need help from you, Hashem. I have to do that, just like Moshe Rabbeinu and the Bnei Yisrael were supposed to. And part of that is asking for bitachon and being patient for Hashem answering us, but Bitachon in general is that when I daven and I don't get answered, I also can't lose my patience. Because he's going to talk about the fact. So let's say he's daven to come home safely. Oh, guess what? He's alive. Back to the Machane. He's alive, Baruch Hashem. But he got taken prisoner. That's the next problem we have. So what's he supposed to do now? So he's going to say later, this is things to come. He's going to daven to be released. Nobody wants to be a POW. I can't even imagine that. He's going to daven. No, he's still, next morning he wakes up, he's still a prisoner of war. So the next morning, he's still a prisoner of war. So he's going to say, yeah, but you don't realize. The Yitzhar has stopped davening. Because if you invest enough in something and it doesn't work, don't you just invest in something different? There's no. It's totally wrong. It's not true. It's happening. And that's how, that all has to do with bitachon. That means that part of a root of bitachon, and one of the methods that bitachon is enabled to survive in us is patience. It's one of the main mitos for bitachon. Because if we don't have patience, then our bitachon is eroded. That's an essence of bitachon, is really patience. That's also a symptom. Remember we talked about symptoms of bitachon? One of the symptoms of bitachon is patience. Now, remember we said all the mitos are intertwined? Some people get angry because they're not patient sometimes. People get depressed because they're impatient. I'm waiting. Why isn't it? Okay, yesterday, did you lose electricity? 5 houses here lost. Anybody here lose electricity? You didn't. You did, okay.
You lost later.
You know, you did, right. Right. So that was a test of patience. Because, like, well, what exactly happened? Oh, what, a tree branch fell on a wire? So put the wire back in, you know what I'm saying? So the guy, oh, Baruch Hashem, an hour and a half later, whatever. The truck comes, oh, Baruch Hashem, Yeshua is here, right? He comes and says, what? It'll be 5 hours from now. So my nature is very impatient. I'm like, what? Like, you could have just done it now, you know? So what happens is impatience causes lots of mitos rows. It causes people to lose their composure and all kinds of stuff. So this is all intertwined with bitachon. And that's called, in Kohelis, it calls it a lev matana, but Rabbi Baruch Eliezer Epstein explains the Chazal about it, that it's a lev misuna. So it's also connected to this. Tein atah, which is Lashon matana, we ask for matanas from Hashem, part of that thing we can ask for, wow, look how related it is, matana and misuna, it's really the same word, which shows you that the ultimate gift, in a certain way, it's the same word. That's not a coincidence. The ultimate gift of mitos is misuna, is to be misuna, is to be patient. It reminds me of what happened one of the couple times I went to Israel. I was in the airport waiting for everyone. I don't know, somehow I was sitting here and like everybody didn't come off the plane or something yet. So an elderly gentleman, an Israeli, came up to me and said, so ma ata oseh. I'm going to try to speak like an Israeli. I can't do that. Ma ata oseh. So I said to him, ready for this? Okay, you can laugh if you want. He said, ani mamtin lemishpacha sheli. So he looks at me strangely. He says, oh, ata mechaker lemishpacha shelcha, not mamtin, because you don't use mamtin in modern Hebrew, you use mechaker. So the thing is, though, that mamtin is lashon of misunim. We have to be patient. That's something we have to always do. It's not just wait, but we have to wait patiently. It's the age of immediate gratification and technology. Okay, so we're just going to continue for the remaining minutes back to the Chofetz Chaim. So just to talk about what did we just do? Like, why did we do all this? Because we just came through Shavuos, and there was an opportunity to say Tein Atah. Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael that Hashem said, Mi Tein. I was supposed to say Tein Atah. You guys were supposed to say Tein Atah. That was 38 years ago. He waited to tell them, almost 39 years ago, he waited to tell them from, you know, Vav Sivan 2448 until the last year in the Midbar, 2487 or 2488. He waited until here to talk to them and say this to them. And that, according to the Mefarshim on that Gemara and on the Aruch Chaim, was also Moshe's mistake, according to the Aruch Chaim, that Moshe didn't appreciate the value and the possibility that we can ask Hashem for a present of good mitos and Yiras Shamayim. By the way, you have to always remember, Yirei Hashem b'tchuv Hashem. We said it in Halal. Yirei Hashem b'tchuv Hashem. It was about Yiras Shemayim that Hashem said, Mi Yitain, that they'd always be afraid of me. If we have Yiras Shemayim, then we also, a prerequisite for bitachon is Yiras Shemayim. Yirei Hashem, in other words, everything is connected, like we said before. Those who fear Hashem, they can have bitachon. And again, that was the thing they were supposed to ask for, was Yiras Shemayim. Yiras Shemayim b'tachon, intertwined, like all the mitos are intertwined. And with a few minutes of Chofetz Chaim, we were talking about the city of Tikla, yes. Yes, sure. Yeah.
Was the reason they thought it wouldn't be good for them because it wasn't something that they earned and it doesn't have the same value? Like, we wanted, it's only valuable for us to be serving Hashem if it comes from our Bechira. Hashem gifts us our Avodas Hashem, then what was the point?
Thanks for asking about that, because the Marsha actually just read it but didn't really explain it well. That's a really good shot. Let's just read it again. It says, Kifuye Tova. By the way, I heard Rabbi Mintzvah say a few times. I just overheard him giving shiurim, and I like how he explained it. Kafoy, lechafos means to invert something. So if I have something like this, this is kafoy, it's inverted. Now, kafoy Tova means they invert the good. That's really what kafoy Tova means. So the Marsha is saying that, in essence, if Hashem gives us Yiras Shamayim, that's a good thing. But kafoy means they inverted it, and said, that's like Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis, the Gemara in Shabbos, Hashem inverted the mountain of Bnei Yisrael like a barrel, an inverted barrel. So it's the same thing, they inverted, meaning, what do you mean invert the Tov? You turn the good over? Yes, that's what you're saying. That low, they didn't think that it's good. They said it's not good. That's what it is. They said it's not good. So Moshe said, you're Kefuya Tova. You're turning over something. What you're doing is you're renaming it something bad, something negative, and they didn't think that it's good. And you're suggesting that because they... It's because they would say, well, that's not a good thing if Hashem gives it to us because we're supposed to really earn it. That's what you said, right?
We wouldn't.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense because, like, they say it doesn't make any sense. It's not a good thing that Hashem would give us Yerush Shemayim. We're, like you said, we're supposed to earn Yerush Shemayim. We're supposed to work in it, work in it, work in it. So therefore, how could it be good that Hashem is going to give us Yerush Shemayim? It just doesn't make sense. It's just not good. I mean, they were thinking clearly. It was during Matan Torah. They got it to such a high level. So it must be that that's the way they viewed it. But that was also a mistake, though. Because it really is. Does that make sense the way I explain it? It really is a good thing. We learn from this Gemara that it really is something good. It is something good that Hashem gives it to us. And the reason I mentioned the davening that the Chofetz Chaim said is because, so then once we have this, we know, oh yeah, actually I had more of a point about that. Once we know that it's a good thing, and we ask for it, but then we can't become impatient either about it, because when we ask for it, we can't expect it to come like right at that second. But yeah, they made a mistake and thought it's not a good thing, and what happens is this Gemara is telling us that it really is something positive. It is something positive. And it's not considered being spoon-fed illegally. It's not considered a negative thing. It's actually a good thing. And actually, instead of going back to the Machne Yisrael, I had this open because we're going to end with this point today, which really puts a cap on the Inyan of Peshach, which is what has to do with this so much. We know that in Parshas B'Shalach, there were two places Bnei Yisrael were at, back-to-back. First, they were in Marah. And where did they come after Mara? They came to Elim. So it says they came to Elim. Oh, there were 12 fountains. There were palm trees, date palm trees. It was like, it was a five-star hotel. Elim was a five-star hotel. Mara was the opposite. Mara was a disaster. They didn't have water to drink. You know, the water was bitter, etc. So the Chofetz Chaim says they came to Elim from Mara. Mara, they couldn't even drink the water because it was bitter. Very close was Elim, which was a five-star hotel, had all the amenities, had all the luxuries. And they found in Elim everything. They had plenty of water. They stayed a long time there, as long as Hashem said them, which is a long time. The Ibn Ezra says, in Mara, how long were they in Mara? This is a life lesson for every single day. How long were they in Mara? For one day. How long were they in Elim? 20 days. One day in Mara. But when they're in Mara, they don't know how long they're going to be there. They're in Mara, they think we're going to be here for a year, we're going to be here for 2 years, we're going to be here for, who knows how long we're going to be here. They end up there one day, and they come to the best place, Elim. The next day they're there. Chofetz Chaim said, a person is a kitzar haroz, a person, we're short-sighted. We can't help it, we're human beings. That's why we complain. Why do we complain? Why are we impatient? Why are we angry? Why are we worried? Why are we anxious? Because we're short-sighted. We don't see what's around the corner. We're full of tainos and complaints and tarumas and grumbling and all types of indictments and complaints. If they would know when they're in Mara that right around the corner they're coming to Elim. Elim's right near here. And we're only going to be in Mara for one day? They wouldn't have even complained. If we know that tomorrow is going to be better, if we would know that in 1 minute it's going to be better, the next hour is going to be better, so we wouldn't complain. So they could have gone. It was so close. So he says, Ein ish yodea ma lifnei ma lachar. We don't know what's in front and what's behind. The reason people complain and are angry and are discontent and are anxious is because we are short-sighted. It's a human condition. So what we have to do is we have to look beyond. That's what we have to do, he says. So when we're in a Mara, if we ever feel, oh, I'm in a Mara now, some people feel they're in a bitter situation, Chas V'Shalom. It could be for a few moments, it could be for an hour, it could be for days, it could be relationships, it could be parnasa, it could be anything else that's going on. But they have to realize that Elim could be right next. Elim could be right around the corner. And therefore, there's no reason to complain. Because even if we don't even see the Yeshua, it's there. It could be any second. And that's Yeshua Hashem Keharafayim that happens so quickly. So today, what we did today was we learned that we can ask Hashem to be spoon-fed for Yiras Shemayim, which can include Bitachon, we can daven for it. If we ever feel, I don't have this, this is not in my reach right now, it might not be until I daven. If I daven, wonders happen. wonder of wonder, suddenly I feel serene. I feel bitachon because I asked for it. Hashem gave it to me. So together with our own ishtadlus, we certainly have to ask Hashem for help with all these things. Mirat Hashem, when we go back, we're going to learn more about the soldiers on the battlefield, which is the battlefield of life, as Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Chofetz Chaim himself says later, by the way, that is also the battlefield of life, which is our daily challenges and the difficulties and challenges and crises that face us sometimes. Thank you so much for joining us. Yes.
Are we supposed to be like, these are really smart people, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Are we supposed, like David says, Kagamo Alim Ima, are we supposed to be more like a baby in Hashem's arms? Is that,
that's right.
Is that what, they were too smart maybe to figure that out?
That's right.
Is that possible?
Meaning they're so capable, they're so intellectually giant, that's what you're saying.
Like Mr. Sefer was saying.
Right. Yeah.
You want the challenge of
that's
doing
correct.
It.
That's right. But Hashem says, you know what, that's very noble and everything, but you're not going to be able to do it yourself. We need Hashem's help.